Praise God. If you hadn't gotten one before you came in, there's two handouts. It's going to be a bit of a teaching this morning. Praise God. Hope you get excited about receiving word as far as teaching is concerned.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I can preach you happy anytime, but
sometimes
we need to be taught. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Praise God. Let us just stand for the reading of the word as we honor the word. I'm going to read two short scriptures. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2, and also 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Praise God. Okay, give our media time to catch up with me. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18. Here we go. The scripture says, I'm using the King James Version here, hope nobody has problems with the King James Version. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
Hallelujah.
And in 2 Peter 3 and 18, it says, but grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who will reveal, make clear, and we thank you, Lord, you're doing that now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of us would like to grow?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, these two scriptures written by the Apostle Peter encourages us to grow. And Peter specifically tells us to pattern our behavior as if we were newborn babies craving food. Now, I want to tell you that nothing gets in the way of a hungry baby.
That's true.
Nothing.
That's it.
They never fail to communicate when they are hungry. And they begin to cry until they are fed. And the only thing that will stop, they will only stop when they receive their mother's milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are not concerned about where they are, who is in the room, or what is going on at the time.
That's right.
And when they want milk, they want milk.
Yes.
And that's why we have a nursery service at church, because when babies want to preach, they get all the attention regardless of who is preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes, 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, the newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, as babies desire the milk of their mother, which helps them grow and become stronger, and they will not let anyone, anything stand in the way of receiving this milk. Now, the scripture calls us disciples of Christ.
Amen.
Any disciples of Christ here?
Amen. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Okay. And when we understand the word disciple, we understand it to be someone who is a learner, right?
Amen.
Somebody who wants to grow in knowledge. Is that correct?
Yes.
And 2 Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor has been teaching us his Grow series, and he asked me to continue it just for a little bit. But I want to say something to you. This desire to grow or to continue to learn is not just patterned in the New Testament. It's also patterned in the Old Testament. Psalms 91 and 16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Do you know that after you get saved, that's not all there is?
Amen.
Oh.
Amen. Amen.
No,
amen.
No one agrees? Okay. There is a continually showing,
you
know, and I like what the scripture says in Psalm 91. It says, with long life, we're going to have long life so God can show us everything about our salvation.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
So if you hook up to that verse, you will have yourself, you have to have long life, because God will show you. He wants to satisfy you. He'll satisfy you with long life. So what? So he can show you, so he can continue to teach you.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Doug has started this Grow series, giving us a tool on how to read and approach the Word of God. Pastor Doug has provided us with an acronym. And you know, an acronym is you take a familiar word, and every letter of the word stands for something.
Right.
Now, as we, he wants us to take this Grow series and use it as a lens to look at the Word of God. And when he says lens, that means that when you read a scripture, try to imagine what the G stands for, the R stands for, the O, and the W. Now, let's just recap this a little bit. Pastor told us that the G stands for God's part.
Amen. Yeah.
God's part. That's God's part.
Yeah.
Always reveals his purpose and his desires. But it identifies what he has provided for us so we can grow in him.
Amen.
God's part. But it's going to reveal his, like I say, his purposes and desires. The R is for respond. Mm-hmm. How do we respond to God's part? How to respond to his purpose and his desires?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to remind you, this is where we grow. Our response will establish us growing. Growing in Christ, as Pastor told us, is a choice. You don't grow unless you choose to grow.
That's right.
Okay? It's a choice. We will respond or be responsible to what God has laid out in his word.
Yes.
Let me say that again. We will respond or be responsible to what God has laid out in his word.
Yes.
You can read the word and not be responsible for it.
That's right.
You can read the word and not apply yourself to it.
Mm-hmm.
It can become just like a Dickens novel.
Mm.
Wow. Okay? Or it can be the word of God.
That's right.
It all depends on your choice.
That's right.
Isn't that correct?
That's right.
All right. And in fact, Pastor said this. He said, we will adjust our life having faith that God's heart has your best interest when leading you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Say it again. We will adjust our life having faith that God's heart has your best interest when leading you.
Amen.
Which means that God puts things in his word and he teaches you. He's going to lead you. He's going to prompt you in your spirit what you should be doing next.
Mm-hmm.
You either comply or you don't comply.
That's right.
Okay? You have that choice. Isn't it wonderful we have that choice?
Thank God.
Hallelujah. It makes it even more exciting when we actually take the choice to obey him.
Yes.
But we know that God's heart has our best interests in heart. Praise the Lord.
That's
and then we come to the O. There are sometimes obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn it's God's part, how we respond. But then sometimes there are obstacles. You know, when we receive God's word to grow and we can see when we read his word, there are times that when we read scripture, at the same time, God will put warnings in scripture to let us know that I know you want to acquire this that I'm teaching you right now, but I want to warn you that this might come or this is my the obstacles. There are obstacles sometimes responding to God's part. It's our desire to do exactly what God says. But sometimes there are obstacles. Now, through using this grow lens, now Pastor wants us to use this grow lens, which means that, now, how would this be useful? Like when you open the Word of God, just like any tool, he wants us to, when we approach the Scriptures, this could be one way in which you can approach the Scriptures. Some people have thorough studies they like to do. Some people like to do word stories. But this is another tool, because God is told the pastor, as the pastor of the church, to equip the saints.
Amen. Yes.
And so this grow tool is supposed to use in order to, if you are kind of stuck in your study and you need a way to be able to examine scripture, this is the grow tool he wants you to look at. Which means that you look at the scripture in light of, do you see God's part in the scripture? What God has done. What is the response of the person who is responding to what God has done? Or what you should be doing as you respond? Do you identify any obstacles?
Mm-hmm.
And after you identify any obstacles, you look at what witness are you going to be giving?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You see, the biggest purpose of wanting to grow is that we represent God in a way that brings Him praise and glory.
Amen.
That's the reason why we want to grow. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to make mistakes. We don't want Him to be defamed or looked at. We don't want to be called a hypocrite. Right? Because that doesn't make God look good. Right? We want others to be drawn to the Savior, Jesus Christ, because what they see and how they observe our lives.
That's right. That's right.
And that our response to God's part in our life is seen in us. Not just by what we say, but what we do. Mm-hmm. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
Amen. We want to be people who are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So, pastors asked me to go through Ephesians chapter 3. Using this tool, the growth tool, as a lens, as we read Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to come, because this is not a normal Sunday school class where we can, you know, back and forth ask questions, what have you. Usually, I like to see a Sunday school class at least is an hour or more. Well, we usually don't spend that much time here in the regular service as far as teaching, but He wants us to begin to learn how to use tools so we can enhance our knowledge of the Word of God. So, as we look at Ephesians chapter 3 and that scripture, you notice that I have made it so color-coded. And the reason why I gave that to you is to show you, when I went to use this tool, what I got out of it. And I want to show you what I saw. Now, you know what the exciting thing about it? Is that sometimes when you sit down to the Word of God, you may see something actually even more than I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So this is not exhaustive. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is not exhaustive. But do you know that as you sit down more with the Lord of God, you sit down and read His Word and study His Word, it gets exciting.
Yeah.
You ever had it? You read His Word and all of a sudden you're jumping up because what you just read floored you.
Yep.
It touched you. It touched you so much in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's start reading from in Ephesians. We're going to read to the first sentence is over. It says, "For this reason," and this is a very long sentence, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if you indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." All right, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power." Do you know that's only one sentence? You see the start of it, and then you see the period at the end. You know, when I was taking English, My teachers wouldn't allow me to write sentences like this. They said it's a run-on sentence, too many commas. But that's actually one sentence. But Paul is probably fold up, and he just got to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes it. And then those who translated the Word of God just kept putting commas.
Yeah.
Because Paul had a lot to say about what has happened. So I'm going to look at this in the case of the Grow Tool right now. And if you look at my and those who are online, someone probably on Facebook will be sending you a link to these tools. Maybe that you may not be able to use it at this time, but you can go back and use it to be able to see how I've come to look at it in this way. So when you look at verse 1, he says, "I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, to you." And he says, "if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God." I wanted to explain that word dispensation, okay, a little bit. And I asked you to substitute that with the word of plan. Substitute that with the word of plan. The plan of grace from God. What was God's plan? How he was going to bestow grace upon us? How was he going to bestow grace upon us? You know what God's ultimate plan of grace is? His ultimate plan of grace is that someone else has to die in our place. Wow. Amen. Do you ever think about that? The grace he wants to give you costs somebody else's their life.
Yep. Right. That's right.
That was his plan of grace. That somebody else would die in your place. You know, John 3:16-17, we read this all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent Jesus that if we would just believe in the sacrifice he's made, we don't deserve eternal death. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you may think you're just a wonderful person. From your child, you've been very good. You learn how to give to people. But the scripture tells us that we all have sinned.
That's right.
And if we'd examine ourselves closely, we realize that we ain't all that.
Hallelujah.
Right? We will realize that, right? And we thank God for his provision and what he has done for us, and that how we are just, we have gained so much by the sacrifice that Jesus has made on that cross. Such as the one who's writing to the Ephesian church was Paul. It says here that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, when we read that, we can get very uncomfortable when we think about some people who the Lord wants to save. You see, Paul, as Saul, was a terror to the Christians. You can even call him a terrorist. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 7, you see him standing as people were stoning Stephen, the first martyr.
That's right. That's right.
And the clothes dropped right here. He was standing there watching, consenting
yes.
to Stephen's death.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And then he went to get papers so that he can continue the work of, you know, punishment to Christians. Wow. So when we talk about the plan of grace and God is not willing that any should perish, when we look at Paul, understand that he was a terror to the very faith that we love and enjoy. We enjoy. He was a terror. He was consenting to Stephen's death, and he was going to do business. He was a bad person. Okay? And I think of that, and I said, is that why he was sent to the Gentiles and not to the Christians? Could you imagine? Think about your own lives, how you were before Christ. Some people, it's hard for you to minister to, right? Because they know how you were before. And they can't very much get over that. That's okay. But God is not willing that any should perish.
That's right.
I also include with you in your handout a testimonial here of an Islamic terrorist who is now found to be a faithful pastor. This came out of the Voice of the Martyrs website, magazine, which you can receive freely if you go to their website. And I gave you the ability to look that up and go do that. But I'm just going to read the first paragraph. This is a person, and this is what he says here. He said, at one point, it is easier to kill a person than a chicken, said Alejandro. Back then, he was a terrorist with the militant Islamic organization in Mindanao. Oh, I'm sorry. I spoke, those who are Filipino, they know how to pronounce this. I don't. He said he bombed civilians, government soldiers, U.S. Marines, and homes of Christians. He didn't even know how many people he killed. I was not afraid to kill anyone for the glory of Allah, he said. Well, I'm leaving this for you to read. But he was saved. He came to know Jesus. Now, you look at God and say, God, how could you save him? He sent many people to hell. But God is not willing that any should perish. As long as you're still breathing on this planet and you accept Jesus Christ, you can have forgiveness of sins. When you begin to think of that, you will think differently about how the love of God is. God so loved the world. Not just a certain clan of Baptists over here, or clan of Lutheran over here, or AG over here. Nah, God loves the world.
Yes, he does.
And he's not willing that any should perish.
That's right.
Not willing that any should perish. So as we continue to read, let's look over this and says, okay, in verse 3, it says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I briefly written already. Okay, so let's just continue to read. It says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace given to me by the effective working of his power. 8, to me who am less than least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all that see is the fellowship of mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To him the intent, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of the earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is width, height, length, and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly all I can ask, above ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, notice I have highlighted, so this is, in taking the GROW tool, because this is what the pastor wants us to do, I went into this scripture, wrote it out, and said, okay, let me highlight what I think are God's parts in this scripture. Okay? And you see it's in yellow, right? What I thought was God's part. Now, you'll see my contemplation on the back side of your document, because I reread the scripture. So let me just tell you what my thoughts were. In verse chapter 1, he says, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. And I highlighted that yellow, saying that's God's part. But I seemed like a little confused, right? Because some of it was red and some of it was yellow. And what I was suggesting right here is God's call, that's his part. Now, we can debate if God called Paul at this time to be in prison or not. All right? But it definitely was an obstacle, right?
Yes.
So he's obeying God. And he was also in prison in Rome during this time. So it doesn't mean that because you serve God and you follow him that you won't have any problems.
That's true. That's
right. Okay? That doesn't what it means. Because this is still a fallen planet.
Yes.
This is not heaven. Get this? This is not heaven. All right?
Thank God.
All right? And as much as we try to, we can't make this heaven. Okay? As long as evil is here, we're going to be dealing with some things.
That's right.
But God's call, his purpose, his plan, maybe even specific for you to help people while you're down here as you're waiting for the coming of the Lord. So Paul recognizes that he was anointed and was called to the Gentiles, right? And in verse 2, we saw a dispensation of grace. God, as we just was talking about, will give his grace to anybody if they were bad. I think it was the one lesson I taught when I was ministering at the Salvation Army. I taught a lesson about the son of Sam, David Berkowitz, mm-hmm. who terrorized New York, and he killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he had a nerve to get saved in jail. Now, what am I supposed to say about that? I can't say nothing about that. Right. He gave his heart to the Lord while he was in jail. The Lord changed his life.
Amen.
And he spent the rest of his life in jail ministering to people
Hallelujah.
About the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
So God's grace is given. And just like Paul, who was consenting, like a murderer, from a murderer to be an apostle, different change of life. Then verse 3, this is what I saw here. All right? If you're looking at this side of it, with the table, I said, when I got to verse 3, it said, by revelation he made known to me the mystery. The first thing I got out of this is, first of all, that God will bring revelation to things which have been mysterious to us.
Yes.
God brings revelation.
Yes.
Now, this is just a cursory view. Using this tool as a cursory view, it just jumped out at me. This is God's part. He is going to bring revelation.
Yes.
Praise God. He's going to not allow his people to be confused and walking in darkness. He's going to bring revelation. Then verse 5, I said, now he has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, and the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. I said, that's God's part. So what did I get out of that? I said, well, God reveals by his Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He is the person who's going to reveal to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shun the presence of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Don't stop praying in the Spirit.
That's right.
There are many times when you pray in the Spirit, the Lord will give you revelation.
Yes.
Sometimes you do not have your language words to be able to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You need to practice his presence and pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why he's given us the ability to pray in tongues. And then I looked at verse 7, and it says, effective working of his power. Now I look at this and say, well, effective working of his power. Wait a minute. Why would it put the word effective? Well, God gives power. Well, you know what I got out of that? I said, well, God not only gives us power, he makes sure it continues working in us. Know this, the Holy Spirit in us will not fizzle out.
That's right. Well,
that's
Amen.
True.
It will not fizzle. He will not fizzle out of us. Okay? So, the thing is that if you think God is gone, no, you're mistaken. It's a lie. When you receive God and you're walking in his Holy Spirit, he's not going to fizzle out. He may seem far away because you don't take the time to spend the time, but he is not far away. Verse 20, I saw another part that God did. It said, him who is able to exceedingly abundantly all I ask to think. Wow, just using this grow tool. Just saying, okay, what is it? But this is God's part. God will do far above what I even asked for.
Yes, amen.
And what I can even think of.
That's right.
When you pray and ask God to move on your behalf, God puts a little extra in there.
Mm-hmm.
If he would, you know, and sometimes so glad,
amen.
I'm so glad that he does that.
Yes, he does.
Because we limit him sometime in our asking.
Yeah.
Yes, but he knows your need.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And he will do above all you ask to think.
Amen.
So this is some things I got to grow to. Now, when you begin to read Ephesians 3 for yourself, you'll get more out of it for yourself.
Amen.
But these are the the few things I saw by using this growth tool that Pastor has provided for us. But then I want to look at Paul's response, because it can help us shape our response when we see these things that God has provided for us. Now, in verse 3 and 4, it says that Paul says, "As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now, you may think this is basic. Paul's response, he says, now he's in jail, right? As a response to the plan of grace given to Paul, his life changed from those who terrorized Christians. Paul writes to get the message out. What if Paul never wrote? Where would we be? Paul is in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about, you know, three meals and a cot, what have you. You're talking about bad jails, okay?
Yeah.
Probably mice running around.
Yeah.
These are not jails like you know in the United States. We don't understand jail. That's why you don't go overseas and mess around, because you end up in those jails.
Oh.
It's no joke.
No joke.
It's no joke. You don't want. We got some people just got released from Russia. The way they came back, we thank God they didn't have to stay even longer. But they come back, man, they have been checked out because they went through some stuff.
Yes.
Okay? But look at this. If Paul never wrote, because of the grace upon his life, he desires so much to write. Why? To tell people about what God has done in him, how God has done great things in his life. Right? You know why he was so excited about that? Because he was going the wrong way.
Yeah. Right.
He was persecuting that which has now changed his life.
Yes.
You know? Even though God changes us, doesn't mean that we don't mourn dealing with the past that we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
If we hurt somebody, we mourn that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because no matter what you say, you can't go to that next person who you've hurt, you may try, they may not receive you. So, and I'll show you a little bit why I say that. So, but if he never wrote, Paul did not obey God and write. Most of the New Testament Paul wrote.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody who was lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he didn't write, where would we be? We would have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing to read to assure us of our salvation. So let us know. But he obeyed God.
Yes, he did.
Let's look at verse 7. It says, "I became a minister according to the gift of grace." Paul gives his life to tell others of the grace extended to him. So as a result of the grace that was extended to him, he gives his entire life. And in verse 8, it says, "This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ." The grace Paul received was directed to preach among the Gentiles. God sent him to the Gentiles. And I'm pretty sure the reason why he sent him to the Gentiles, because his Jewish believers, who were the first Christians, had a problem with him when he got saved. That way, ask him questions.
Uh-huh.
Who you say got saved? Paul? The early church was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, the Saul person you said got saved? Wait a minute. I don't think he was getting invitations from the Jewish churches right off the bat. Right? No, I don't think so, all right? Verse 13 says, "For this cause I reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." A response to the grace that God given Paul caused him to pray for others. Our response to what God has given to us should cause us to pray for others.
Yes, amen.
Especially if you know where you came from.
Yes.
You should be on your knees praying that, Lord, don't let this person go that route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you came out of drug addiction. You came out of all kinds of different kinds of sins.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to go through that route, that life of inconvenience. You don't want them to go that route. Okay. So let's take the growth tool and let's look at the two areas of obstacles. And then I saw a third obstacle when I was coming here today. First obstacle that Paul had was based on verse 1. He said he was a prisoner. If being in prison is not an obstacle to you, I don't know. It would not make me feel want to share a whole lot of faith, but he know what God done for him.
Yes.
And Paul was able to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Man, he has such a conversion, incredible conversion. Well, you know, if somebody knocks you off your horse and blinds you for a couple of days, I think you would have a real conversion, right?
Yes, definitely.
It gives you back your sight. Mm-hmm. And he went at it. He went at it to share his faith.
Sure did.
Then he says that, he just put it right in verse 13. He says, at my tribulations. And what I got out of that, we need to serve God regardless of what things come our way. Be consistent. If you can come to the house of God and still serve, okay, come and still serve. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just take a little sniffle. I can't go to church today.
Well,
yeah, somebody else might catch it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my throat hurts a little bit. We'll talk less and still come to church. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And believe God. Amen. You know, the obstacles that we deal with are just small compared to what they had to deal with, what he had to deal with.
That's true.
And then we handle this issue about witness. What was Paul's desire? In verse 1, we get an inkling of that. He says, to make all see what is the fellowship of his mystery. He was so bent on, not that the grace only applies to me, but I want everybody to know about this that's happened to me.
Yeah.
Everybody to know, motivated, because it changed his life. In verse 17 and 18, said, Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is what he wanted. He even had a direction that he wants to actually happen. So he was going to do whatever it takes to the people who would hear him, that their hearts through faith will be grounded in love, being rooted and grounded in love, and they'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height of God's love. So, using the GROW tool, I wanted to show you how that you could take the GROW tool. Now, I looked at this and I gave you a little color illustration because those who are using like a Kindle or who like to use the electronics, you know Kindle actually has four colors? So you could do this on Kindle. So you get a Bible on Kindle, you could do it for them. But if you have your Bible, you can highlight. Or you could do something like where you could say, when you go through the scripture, you say, I see a G. This is God's part. You put a G there.
Yes.
You say, well, what should be my response? And you see how that person responds. Say, oh, R. Mm-hmm. And you can put, oh, this is definitely an obstacle. Okay. And then you can see how you could witness here. So Pastor is going to continue to share his GROW tool. This is something Pastor's developed. Okay, he asked me, and I basically didn't have a chance to talk to him this week, but I'm basically coming off it based on what he's already shared, and he'll clean up anything that, but one other obstacle that I wanted to share that I saw this morning that I didn't even see until I got here. It's in verse 8. Okay. In verse 8, Paul says this. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all saints. And I'm going to tell you why I think this is an obstacle. When we come to the Lord, although we know we're forgiven, the baggage of where we came from is still very ready in our minds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when I saw this, and you know, I'm going to ask Paul when he gets there. Paul might be still struggling here with what he did before he came to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because he calls himself the least of all saints. Who goes around talking himself down like that? Many people don't, right? But he knows where he was at. And it probably propelled him even more to do more for the Lord because he said, look, I don't know how many I've sent to and hurt before I came to know the Lord. But God has forgiven him for very much. And that many of us, when we look at Paul's life, we don't even think about this. Nobody thinks about this. We don't think about where he was before he came, and why he is so fervent in sharing the word of God and telling people and bringing them to Christ. We don't even see it. So this is the grow tool that Pastor is teaching us, and he's going to continue it when he comes back. Now I just want to say, we're closing right now. If you are here today and you're not started this walk with Jesus, okay, are you on camera and you have not started this walk with Jesus, the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, it's real simple. You believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, and you confess him as Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. You're accepting his forgiveness, just like Paul had to accept him for his forgiveness. And you may not have done half the things Paul has done, and yet God rose them up, and he's written most of the New Testament. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you want to accept the Lord, just say the simple prayer out loud with me, and we're all going to say it with you. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I
believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that
he died for my sins. And he raised me from dead. That he was raised from the dead for me. Right now I call him my Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness, and I'm walking in new life with him. Amen. And if you prayed for that prayer for the first time, especially those who are online, we've asked that you would send us a message so that we can be able to send you some material as you can start your walk with the Lord, and maybe find you a church home near where you are so that you can, you know, grow in the Lord.
Amen.
Have somebody to help you grow in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed that. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So Pastor's going to continue his series when he gets back. I would thank God. I was privileged to be able to help out in that. And that way I finished my assignment. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So let us stand so we can say our closing scripture. Praise God. And I've given you also an extra 10 minutes. Glory to God. Y'all are probably excited about that. Okay, it says here, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121, 7 and 8. Go in peace. Love the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.